Chapter 11. Ramon struggled to move. There was something urgent, but he couldn't quite remember what it was. The earth beneath him felt unstable, like when he'd drunk until it was hard to walk. Only there was something bad, something important, and he couldn't remember what it was. It was the shell of the Eunaea that first brought a glimmer of recognition. The bone-white slats and dripping strands of the thing's walls and floor had been broken and ripped apart. They lay on the ground, scattered on the granite stone like a child's game of pick-up sticks. Only one wall and a corner remained standing, and it was slumped like an old man's spine. The air smelled hot and acid, the scent familiar to prospectors of spent explosives. Across the stone, a great spray of fresh earth and new gravel showed where the charges had gone off, angled up toward anyone on the surface instead of down into the ground. He had an impression, likely more his own imagination than the truth, of the slats clicking closed and opaque at the moment of the blast, shielding him. Him and the alien. Manek. Ramon tried to sit up and failed, slipping back down onto the ground. His arms were weak. His right leg was bleeding freely from a gash just above the knee. He forced himself to roll over. His head was beginning to clear, memories of the immediate past fitting themselves together. The fucker had tried to kill them. The other Ramon, wherever he was, had known he was being followed, and he'd laid a trap to kill the alien. Outrage bloomed in his heart, followed almost instantly by respect and a strange pride. Let aliens everywhere know it, Ramon Espejo was a tough little fucker, and dangerous to cross. Ramon laughed, hooted, slapped ineffectually at the ground, his mouth aching with a grin. That had been a fucking ride. It occurred to him that he was laughing and not being punished for it. The Sahel was still trailing from his neck. Its pale flesh had gone dark as a bruise. Ramon swallowed. He wondered, for the first time, what would happen if the evil thing died while it was inside of him. "Monster!" he called, and his voice seemed deep and far away. The high register of his hearing had been blown out by the explosion, leaving him only the low bass tones of his voice. "Monster, are you okay?" There was no answer. Ramon finally levered himself up to sitting, and, one hand on the dark, injured Sahel, followed its line to the massive bulk of the alien. Manek was standing, but its stance seemed lower and squat, as if it needed a wider base of support to keep its balance. One of its strangely jointed arms hung limp at its side. Its left eye had gone from hot orange to a deep ruby red and swollen to half again its previous size. The most dramatic change, though, was its skin, where the silver had swirled on the black like oil over water. Half of the alien's body had turned ashy and gray. Its flesh looked tighter as well, like a sausage cooked almost to the point of bursting. Pale mucus dribbled from its snout, spattering to the ground at its feet. Ramon couldn't guess what it was, but nothing about the alien spoke well of its condition. "Monster," Ramon said again.
"You failed to foresee this," the alien intoned.
"No shit," Ramon said.
"It is your purpose to mirror the man's flow," the alien said.
"Well, I'm only so good a tool," Ramon said, and spat. "I forgot that the fucker had those coring charges in his pack. It was a mistake."
"What other devices does he have?"
Ramon shrugged, trying to recall the layout of his field pack. "Some food, but he's probably already eaten that. There's an emergency beacon, but it's short range. It's designed to trigger a bigger beacon in the van, and you motherfuckers already took care of that. A pistol. I had a pistol."
"That is the device that accelerated metal using magnetic fields?"
Manek asked. Its voice seemed flatter and more mechanical. Ramon didn't know if the change was in the alien's voice or his own ears. "That's the one."
"It was removed from him," Manek said. "It was this that separated the man's appendage."
"The pistol guard ripped his finger off?" Ramon asked. "You mean that pendejo's done all this without his trigger finger?" Manek blinked, the red eye's lid not entirely closing.
"Is this significant?" Manek asked.
"No, it's just kind of impressive." A low wheeze came from the alien, that in another context Ramon might have mistaken for laughter. Instead, he wondered if the thing was suffering a seizure or choking on something. The mucus flowing from its snout became a violent blue for a moment, then turned pale again.
"How many more charges of this kind does the man possess?" Manek asked.
"I don't know," Ramon said. "I had 4 in the pack. That's standard. I used 1 finding you bastards. So that's 3. But I don't know if he just used 1 charge on this or all of them."
"Can this be determined?"
"Sure, probably," Ramon said. "I can take a look. I should probably do something about my leg first, though. And you look like shit."
"You will determine the number of charges used," Manek said, its voice becoming strident and tinny.
Ramon decided that his high-register hearing was starting to come back.
"You will do so immediately."
"Fine," Ramon said. "I have to go over and look at the crater. You think this fucking leash stretches that far?" The alien was still for a moment, and then began to haul itself across the wreckage of the flying box toward the new scar in the landscape. Its steps were pained and awkward. Ramon could hear its breath, the low wheeze again. It had clearly been seriously hurt. The crater was wide but shallow. Ramon considered the stone where the blast had sheared away the corners of the granite. If the charge had been shaped to burrow into or even under the slab, the damage to stone would have been much more extensive. The other Ramon had angled the blast up, toward whatever set it off. The triggering branch was currently nothing more than a handful of toothpicks scattered from the meadow up toward low orbit. He had a momentary image of a flapjack somewhere high in the air, surprised at being impaled by a length of branch, but he suppressed a chuckle. If the edge of the stone had been more intact, he could have gotten a better idea of how the trigger had been set. It would have been tricky to isolate the movement of the stone from the vibrations of the branch and its flapping banner. He could think offhand of 3 ways that might have done the trick, depending on the formation of the rock. But that wasn't the critical issue. The important thing was that the blast had been pointing upward. He paced the crater's perimeter, limping when the wound in his leg sent an unexpected pain shooting through him. The blast pattern was lobed and roughly triangular. He could almost see how it had been done. The branch had been set as a trigger particularly sensitive to the relatively stable stone, but anyone taking the shirt off or shifting the branch itself would have set off the charges as well. His twin hadn't known what direction the hunters would approach from, and he'd set the blasts meant to make a rough circle. He'd bet everything on the one trap, and it hadn't been a bad wager at all. Ramon squatted, his fingers brushing the dirt more for the simple pleasure of feeling fresh soil than for anything he expected to learn. The ground smelled strongly of the explosives. He wondered what it had been like, setting the trap. Joyous or nerve-wracking? Or both? Fumbling with coring charges and an improvised trigger, and working with a mutilated right hand besides. And it had worked. The Uneo was wrecked, Manek badly injured. The score was even now, blow for blow, Van for flying box. Ramon had a feeling bordering on presentiment that his other self out there in the trees was going to win. "Hey, monster!" Ramon called. Manek had not moved from its place at the crater's edge. Its stillness, so eerie before, now seemed like an indication of weakness. Ramon limped back toward it. "Are you dead? Can you hear me?"
I hear you,
Manek said. I'm pretty sure he used all three charges. There aren't going to be any more like this. Manek didn't reply. Ramon spat and scratched himself. The alien shuddered once and lowered its head. The quills lay as limp as wilted ivy.
I have failed to fulfill my tatacroida,
the alien said.
I am damaged. The man has progressed. We will return to the others and confer.
We can't do that, Ramon said, fearful images of the alien hive filling his mind. He couldn't return to that, to be trapped in that smothering darkness for the rest of his life. The hunt had to continue, or he had no hope of getting free of this thing. He's got to be close. He's got nothing now. What, he's going to stop us with a hunting knife and a pair of dirty pants?
I am weakened, Manek said.
So's he! You shot his pinche finger off. It's been festering for days. He's been running for days. He's got to be ready to collapse.
Manek went silent. Ramon tried to will the alien on, tried to push something. Anger, bloody-minded resolve, duty, thirst for revenge, anything. Send it up the bruised Sahel and into the thing's flesh. They couldn't turn back now.
Is it your fucking tatacroida to give up and run back to your fucking mother, like a coward? Is that it? The man is still out there, still heading for Fiddler's Jump. Only now we know where he's going. We can get to him. If we limp back, it's going to take days. By then he could have gotten anywhere. It'll be too late to stop him from telling everybody about you.
Manek didn't reply, so Ramon pressed on.
This trap he set. It can't have been set for very long. Something would have triggered it by accident. No, he's close. He probably stayed to watch and see if it worked. Even if he was in a treetop someplace, he can't be more than 2 or 3 clicks from here. You can still get to him.
Manek's head shifted slowly from side to side, as if the alien were shaking its head no. A cold dread shook Ramon. It couldn't end like this. They had to go after the other Ramon. They had to. There had to be something, some way to make the injured alien keep going rather than folding up and running. Ramon's hands were trembling, his mind whirling like a storm. He had to struggle not to lash out at the thing, kick it, punch it, make it do the right thing. He didn't consider what he was going to say, and when he spoke, his own words surprised him.
What will they think of you? The other ones back under the mountain, your brothers.
They know you're out here. They know why, and you can't fucking tell me they don't admire you for it. You want to go back in shame, as a failure, and see how they look at you then? Fine. You want to know what it's like to have your own people turn their backs on you? Fine. Let's go then. Come on, you great fucking bitch. Ramon did swing a foot then, kicking the alien where its ankle would have been if it had one. The impact was soft and hard at the same time, like kicking a tree wrapped in a layer of rubber. Manek didn't react.
Go back then, you sad little devil! Ramon shouted, his rising blood making his face warm with rage. Turn around, and let's march back home and let them see that you're nothing, that you're connected to nothing. You aren't a part of them. Let's see how you like it that they don't want shit to do with you anymore, or keep moving forward, do what they want you to do, and finish this thing. They don't have the balls to do it. Show them that you do. What's the worst that can happen? That shit-crazy rat-fuck out there could kill us. Is that what you're worried about? Is going back as a failure better than dying in a fight? Have some balls. Be a man.
The alien bowed its head, the quills stirring slightly.
I must rest, it said, its voice low. But you are correct. To cease to function is aubre. To express my tatacroida is paramount.
Fucking right it is.
I will focus on my own repair for a time. When proceeding will cause no further damage, we will locate the man.
Well, Ramon said, nodding, relief and pleasure flushing through him. All right, then. Good, you grew some fucking huevos. We'll track him down on foot. We can do that.
Is he like this as well? The alien asked.
Like what?
You are not coordinated in your thoughts, the alien said. Your tatacroida is unfocused, and your nature is prone to aubre. You comprehend killing and will, but not nidutoi. You are flawed at your core, and if you were a key hatchling, you would be reabsorbed. You attempt to separate, and also to rejoin. Your flow is always in conflict with itself, and the violence of this confuses your proper function, but also overcomes boundaries that would otherwise restrict you. Is this what the man is like, or are you continuing to deviate?
Ramon looked into the alien's uninjured eye, trying to make sense of what it had said. Flow and conflict, violence and restriction, belonging and not belonging. Or maybe he was the one who'd brought that up. No, monster, he said at last. It's not deviation. I've always been like this.